You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and yes, that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and I am joined today by my broadcast partner, Jamie. How are you tonight, Jamie?
Well, what can I be other than excited right now, David? We are within a week and a half of the big show, and next week at this time, we'll be in Miami having a great time. I just can't wait. The juices are flowing.
The juices are flowing, and I'm with you. This is exciting. I think, well, we'll get to the WWE in a second, but I'm with you. This is a fun time of year. We have a lot of wrestling news to discuss today. We'll recap TNA's Victory Road pay-per-view, break down the latest WrestleMania news, and touch on a lot of other topics making headlines this week. So, you ready to go, Jamie?
Let's ring that bell. TNA Victory Road recap. Bobby Roode defeated Sting at last week's Victory Road pay-per-view. With Roode already slated to face James Storm at Lockdown, what happens with Sting now? You know, Dave, it's interesting, and we've talked about this match for the last couple of weeks, and you know, I kept saying this is similar to the Cena-Kane angle. We knew Cena was going to face Rock at WrestleMania. We knew that Roode was going to face Storm at Lockdown. I felt it was a wasted match, although I understand, you know, getting Sting to make Roode maybe look better. I think that's good. But, you know, where do we go with Sting now? Where do you see him going as we head into arguably TNA's biggest pay-per-view of the year?
Right. Well, I certainly think we had the correct winner at this pay-per-view. Again, Sting, in my opinion, is enhancement talent at this point in time. You've got to push that young talent. So I thought they used Sting the right way here. I don't think his role changes going forward. I think you can have him floating in and out of storylines. You can have him in a main event match like this. But for Sting to be anything else to TNA other than enhancement talent does a real disservice to the young talent that TNA, I think, does have at this time.
Well, I think there's a natural angle here now with Bully Ray and Sting headed into Lockdown. You know, Bully Ray and Sting have been at each other for the last couple of weeks. Bully Ray had the number one contenders match at Victory Road. Of course, he lost that match. Mm-hmm. But there's an opportunity here, I think, to play on it and for Sting to make Bully Ray look good.
Well, you know, and let me clarify one thing. I think Sting has utility for TNA because I think what Sting is certainly a recognizable name. And recognizable names will get people to open their wallets, and it will get eyeballs on the screen. And you know, this reminds me a little bit, Jamie, of what they're doing with Kane and Randy Orton in their matchup at WrestleMania. That's a match to me that, you know, all right. Yeah. It's two veterans. It's two guys that people know. People will be on their couch and they'll be happy to see familiar faces. And I think that's what Sting does here. So by no means am I implying that he has no value, but I think, you know, he shouldn't be wearing the championship. He should really be used to make other people look better because you are going to get people to watch his matches.
Yeah, I really think that from a booking standpoint, I think TNA is doing a pretty good job here. Mm-hmm. You know, I was critical of Sting being in this match with Roode, but in retrospect, I think they're doing a really good job.
So it was a strange ending with Dixie Carter getting involved. I read some things on the internet that people were pretty unhappy. What did you think about the ending of that match, though?
Let me
clarify, or how they went off the air. You know, the ending itself was fine to the actual match, but the follow-through then.
Right. I mean, it really ended with Roode bringing out Dixie Carter and in front of Dixie beating up Sting pretty good. And, you know, it really leads into this week's Impact, and we'll see the fallout from it.
Mm-hmm.
In the Jeff Hardy-Kurt Angle match at Victory Road, Angle won on a controversial pinfall. Will we see this match again at Lockdown? Dave, what are your thoughts on this rivalry? I really like the match. I mean, Kurt Angle's, you know, somewhat of a legend who's been able to succeed in WWE, succeed in TNA, and I really like this match going into Victory Road. Do you think we could see this again at Lockdown?
I don't know if we'll see it necessarily at Lockdown, but we should see it again. And when I knew we were going to talk about this, the note that I made to myself was we have two very, very good workers here. Certainly Jeff Hardy's had his personal issues, and Kurt Angle's had some personal issues
That's
as well.
That's right.
Yeah, but you have two very good workers, and I was not surprised that the match was exciting. I think we'll see it again. And what I find really interesting, though, about these two guys is they were stars in WWE and have made the transition to being stars in TNA.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, they are headliners now for TNA.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's interesting. During the match, Jeff Hardy hit the Swanton twice on Kurt Angle. Two things about that. Number one, don't name your finishing move the Swanton, okay?
don't we order that off a Chinese menu?
Yeah, I'm not sure where he got that, but don't use that as your finisher. And number two, that's the type of finisher that's not really going to finish your opponent, and it didn't finish Kurt Angle.
Why? Because when he actually hits it, the only thing that touches him is like the back of his head?
Yeah, it hits the back of his head like once out of every five times. Otherwise,
it looks good.
He hits nothing.
It looks good, but...
But yeah, I really, you're right, these two are great competitors, have succeeded in both promotions, and this is the kind of match that I think can really help TNA make more of a name for themselves.
Yeah, and Jeff Hardy, this is a good feud for him, and gets him working with a top-notch guy. Let's hope he can stay on the straight and narrow. What's interesting to me about TNA is that it really does seem to fit the lifestyle of folks like Jeff Hardy. You know, same with Rob Van Dam, we've talked about this. With other guys who go to TNA, they like that it's less travel. You know, you can still book yourself and on other cards, other promotions. I mean, you don't make the money or maybe have the visibility with WWE, but for some of these guys, the lifestyle at TNA, and let's face it, I don't think they drug test. Yeah, but, there are aspects of TNA that really work for some of these guys, and Jeff Hardy's kind of settling in here.
Let me ask you real quick, who is more likely to return to WWE in the future, Jeff Hardy or Kurt Angle?
That's a good question. Boy, if I was in Vegas right now and I had to put money on the two of them, I think that Kurt Angle would be the better play for the WWE. I think bringing him back would be really interesting, especially with Hardy's medical condition and problems, whatever you want to call them.
With Bobby Roode, James Storm, Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, Magnus, Samoa Joe, Austin Aries, and I can go on and on, TNA's built up quite a stable of good young talent. How do these guys compare to some of the WWE's young talent, such as Jack Swagger, Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, Kofi Kingston, Sheamus, etc.? Dave, what do you think? When you compare the younger talent of both promotions, what do you see there?
Well, at the top here, we talked about Bobby Roode, and one of those that I think fits into this conversation nicely. You've got to keep pushing these guys. You've got to use folks like Sting. Keep pushing these guys. Keep pushing them up the card because wrestling's cyclical, and this is the next wave for TNA. There's a lot of talent here to work with, as there is in the WWE. I really was glad you brought this up because I think this is a really, really interesting comparison. But the difference to me, Jamie, is that the WWE production and marketing is so good. They're on TV so much. Everything with WrestleMania feels so big that you just feel like The Miz and Kingston and Dolph Ziggler, that they're bigger stars, when in reality, the work rate of these other guys, AJ Styles, James Storm, they eclipse even those WWE counterparts.
Yeah, you have to think that what WWE is going for is overall entertainment value, whereas TNA is really looking at pure wrestling. And that doesn't mean there's not storylines or anything like that, but what it does mean is TNA is not looking at films and movies and things such as that. And
well, let me stop you there. I think the reason, though, is they can't afford to do it.
Oh, I understand. I'm not saying it's correct. I'm not saying it's the path they would choose if they had all the money in the world.
Right.
But what I think that has led to is a good stable of true young wrestlers. I sound like CM Punk there a little bit. Wrestlers.
The boys in the back aren't going to be happy with you.
But compared to guys like Jack Swagger and some of these other folks, who there might be a little more, I guess, production value, if you will.
Well, you and I have been doing this show for a month now. I'm going to, I think, disagree with you here for the first time. I don't know. Are we going to have to close this show down?
We talked last week about a breakup. I don't know.
You're going right through the plate glass window. I think that what gets lost in the WWE talent is the glitz and glamour and this belief that they're just entertainers. I think Dolph Ziggler is as talented a wrestler as anybody in TNA. I think Kofi Kingston's a phenomenal wrestler. So I think it's one of those things where we kind of do feel these indie promotions or TNA have better quote-unquote wrestlers and the WWE is just entertainment. I don't think when you really look below the surface, these guys can really work, too.
Boy, I'm not done with this topic, and we're going to have to revisit it another time. We could talk for quite a while about that one.
I may need a podcast just on this.
That's right.
World Wrestling Entertainment. With WrestleMania 28 now a little more than a week away, Chris Jericho's recent personal attacks against CM Punk have really revved up the intensity for their WWE title match. I expect an all-time classic. The last couple weeks, Jamie, on Monday Night Raw, Chris Jericho made this feud very, very personal, and I think it's exactly what this needed. This is two guys who, they claim they're both the best in the world. They both probably have a claim that's legitimate. They are fantastic wrestlers. But what this feud missed a little bit was that personal touch, that reason why you and I are going to sit there and say, oh, God, I wonder what's going to happen. And I think by making it personal, it's very interesting how Jericho made this about drug addiction and alcohol abuse with the whole straight edge society and all the way that CM Punk lives his life. I hope you're looking forward to this match as much as I am.
I'll tell you, these are two of the best guys on the mic in the whole business.
Yep.
And what I was a little worried about at first was I wasn't, you know, WWE spent so much time on promoting Rock and Cena that these guys didn't get as much mic time. And then this week happened, and it really, you're right, it's starting to come to a climax, and it's very good. This is exactly what I had hoped for when we saw this coming together. And my only fear is that I heard that they want to put this match on first. And if they do that, I think they're wasting a great opportunity.
Well, you know, next week, in fact, we're going to have OWW Radio live from Miami and do a complete WrestleMania 28 preview. Part of that, I think we should do, Jamie, is kind of run down what we think the order of the matches should be, because that's certainly a big part of the show, because you're playing with the crowd's emotions, right? In fact, you and I were at WrestleMania 25. They never should have had The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels on anywhere other than at the end.
Absolutely agree. The other thing is, you know, if they have this match, this Punk-Jericho match on first, It's still going to be daylight, so we're not going to be able to enjoy Jericho's jacket.
Did you pick ours up from the dry cleaners, by the way?
They've already been shipped to Miami. They'll be ready in the hotel.
But I tell you, I'm actually okay if this match goes on first, because I think these two guys, right out of the chute, could get the entire stadium on their feet. But what I'm going to say about this is I feel like the tension between these two is a bit more legitimate than the Rock Cena, because these two feel like gritty, dirty, real honest-to-God wrestlers who do think they're the best in the world.
I love the match. I'm very excited for it.
I'd ask you for a prediction, but we'll get to that next week.
Sure.
Daniel Bryan has become a breakout star the past few months as the World Heavyweight Champion. He's got a big match next week against the Great White Sheamus. This has been another match, Jamie, for WrestleMania 28. That I am really looking forward to. And this is a big one for the internet wrestling community. These guys, especially Daniel Bryan, have a real cult-like following because they have come from the ground up. Again, so especially Daniel Bryan here. He's a different kind of heel, isn't he? A little bit different. Comes out, yes, yes, yes. He's got AJ, the girlfriend. He's kind of an interesting character. How do you think they have done bringing this guy to his point in his career?
Well, I have to agree with you, fella. Daniel Bryan is somebody that I was a little uncomfortable with at first. I know he had a cult following, you know, mostly from his Ring of Honor days.
Right.
But he has transformed himself into the perfect, just a great heel wrestler.
Yep.
I love his persona. I love how he uses AJ. It's just...
Is she hot, by the way?
I think so.
Oh.
I think so. No, I'm not there with you yet 100%. I think so. I want to meet her in person.
My name to Mr. AJ Lee.
I want to meet her in person, and I'll give you my true opinion. But no, this match means something. And you said it a couple weeks ago that they're starting to build these stories up better and better. And I agree. I feel much better from where I was 2 weeks ago.
Good. Well, I think these two have a chance to, what they always say, quote-unquote, steal the show. In fact, I would say as much as this is a fourth main event to me. I think this is a WrestleMania-caliber match with two guys they have invested a lot of time in, and two guys, if they give the right amount of time to this match, I think they could tell a great story.
Yeah, it's interesting, obviously. This was a WrestleMania match from last year that was off the main card.
You know, people may not realize that.
Yeah, they did not have it on the main card. It was the dark match.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, what a difference a year makes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, when you look at the pop that Sheamus gets these days, I mean, he's becoming a true fan favorite out there.
Well, I always like big kicks, like his bro kick that he uses to take the heads off of people. When you were out growing up, that Haku thrust kick, remember that?
That move was great. The Shawn Michaels kick.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. I would just like to see Sheamus come out in that Green Goblin outfit that he was wearing when he won King of the Ring. If he could do that, then my day will be fulfilled next Sunday.
Well, this is no joke, though, an important match for the WWE because you have two stars that could conceivably be a major part of the main event scene over the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah, I like it. I like the setup of it, and you're right. It's another main event match. I'm excited to pick these with you next week.
You got it, fella. WrestleMania is always a showcase for WWE talent, but also a showcase for other celebrities and even older wrestlers. WrestleMania always feels bigger than the other dates on the calendar because of this star power. Now this year we have, of course, The Rock, HBK, Flo Rida, Machine Gun Kelly, Maria Menounos, all of these folks being brought in to work the show. Are these additions necessary? Well, Jamie, you and I have talked about this. We weren't going to order tickets last July for CM Punk versus the Great Khali in the main event. I'm being facetious, but The Rock was used effectively here to drive ticket sales and to bring mainstream media attention to WrestleMania. I think HBK was an important addition to the Hell in a Cell match. I like that addition. I think that would be an interesting dynamic. I could do without Flo Rida and Machine Gun Kelly, but that's just me. Frankly, you'll have to tell me who they are when they come out. And then Maria Menounos was inserted into the Divas match. I hope there's no more. I think that's enough. I'm okay with the celebrities they have, but I don't need any more than that. How do you feel that this is being set up from an entertainment standpoint?
So you're saying it's Flo Rida instead of Florida?
Oh, my God.
This is terrible, terrible. David, it is a big show, and bringing in these kind of side acts and so forth, I think it's good. I really do. I certainly hope that Machine Gun Kelly, Flo Rida, I hope they don't come out and spend too much time on camera with this stuff. But having them as a side attraction, I think, is okay. I love Maria Menounos, so I'm fine with that. Let me be clear. I'm fine with that.
But if she pins Beth Phoenix next Sunday night, I am never watching Extra again.
Well, but you're right, David. It is star power. It's become more than a wrestling event, and this is what the WWE does, and they do it well. They've made it an entertainment event, and they do it so well. You know, we saw Kid Rock a couple of years ago. It's been this way since WrestleMania 1. This is what Vince McMahon wanted. This was his vision, and I'm all for it. I think it's great.
You know, that's an interesting point, and that is something that we need to talk about. WrestleMania has always done this. In fact, in the spirit of what you're talking about, at least these celebrities, like Flo Rida and Machine Gun Kelly, aren't the guest timekeeper and the guest referee.
Correct.
You know, because we've seen that, right? There was a lot of those early WrestleManias had a lot of guest timekeepers and a lot of guest referees and all this other garbage. All right, they're going to play a little bit of, you know, music, and then they'll go away. I'm not crazy about Maria Menounos here. We've talked about this. I thought the Divas match should have been a more serious Divas title defense. But what they're going to do, I'd be shocked if the Divas tag team match wasn't right before Rock Cena. Would you agree?
If they keep it on the card, which it sounds like they will, it will be near the end. Yeah, you're probably right. But put it in between Hell in a Cell and Rock Cena. That sounds right. But we're not supposed to talk about that. We're not supposed to talk about that till next week.
Next week on the preview. I do think, by the way, the dark match will be the tag team titles will be defended.
I have to think about that one a little bit.
Put that in your pipe.
Yeah, it sounds like a good call, though.
Yeah, chew on that one.
Wild card topic. It was rumored this week that the WWE was shutting down Florida Championship Wrestling, something that was quickly refuted by Triple H. What's going on with WWE's developmental division? Do you see changes ahead? Because, Dave, I think there are changes ahead, and I think the WWE is going down one of two paths. I think either for budgetary reasons they're cutting back on things, and that could very well be the case, or they want to relocate their developmental league up towards Connecticut, up towards their headquarters, which makes a lot of sense. This would not make sense for the wrestlers that participate in the developmental league because the cost of living in Connecticut is much higher than in Florida. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes, but despite Triple H refuting it, those reports came out for a reason. There's something going on.
Yeah, well, there's smoke, there's fire sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What is the big uproar here? I mean, are there that many FCW fans? In other words, doesn't the WWE have the right to do whatever they want to do with their developmental territories? Do they have to clear it with the fans in Florida? And as far as the talent goes, if they want a job with WWE, they'll move to Stamford, Connecticut. I don't get it. You know, people were in uproar over the closing of FCW. When was the last time you watched FCW?
It's not on in this market.
I mean, but would you care if it was called ABC? You wouldn't care. All we care about is the WWE is developing young talent. That's all you care about. Yeah. Because when they get called up to SmackDown and Raw and then go on to these pay-per-views and everything, we want them to be ready and we want them to be great performers. I don't care where they're trained. I don't care what they call the promotion. And I frankly think Triple H sometimes just gets beat up, you know, on the internet for reasons that aren't very legitimate. This, to me, was a non-issue. They're closing FCW. I'm going about it. I'm brushing my teeth and having breakfast. I couldn't care.
You do have to think a little bit about, and I'm glad to hear you brush your teeth. You do have to think a little bit about the wrestlers, though, right? I mean, these aren't guys making big bucks. Yes, they're getting an opportunity, and I understand that. I get that, and you should do what you have to do to make it in the business.
But, yeah, but Jamie, why is the cost of living in Stamford, Connecticut so much? I mean, Stamford, Connecticut is not Boston, Mass, right next to Fenway Park.
The cost of living is significantly higher in that part of the country. Do your research.
I'm going to have to look at it. I'm going to Google it. But my point is, they all room together anyway. I mean, you know, I don't know.
You clearly have strong opinions.
No one's
going
to say, I'm not moving to Stamford, Connecticut, because even though I'd love to be a WWE superstar, you know, I can't – Subway and gas and Dunkin' Donuts, the cost of coffee up there is exorbitant.
You make good points, Dave. I can't argue with you. I can't. If you want the job, if you want to become a WWE superstar, you will do what it takes to become a WWE superstar. I get that. Yeah, I think you're right. People do look to take shots at Triple H at every turn, right? And, boy, he has a tough job because he has to be the leader – but also take a lot of abuse with it. And this might be one of those cases where he's just taking too much abuse.
I'm sorry I got fired up there.
Well, that's okay. I'm glad to see a passion. Wild card topic.
This past weekend, Shimmer taped 4 more volumes for DVD release. There's no doubt Shimmer draws the best independent female talent from around the world, but is this type of promotion viable long term? Jamie, there's no question that the quality of wrestling is extremely high in Shimmer. They really do get the best female talent that's out there today, not already employed by the major promotions. They have a cult-like following, too, and that's great. And you get people who love Shimmer. They go to the tapings, and then, of course, they buy the DVDs and follow these women. But let me ask you as a fan, would you like to attend back-to-back-to-back-to-back TV tapings, you know, in such a short period of time, knowing they're going to be released over the next year on these various DVDs? I mean, is this something you would like as a fan?
Well, it's a larger version, honestly, of what the WWF used to do when we used to go to the Superstars tapings, right? They would tape a couple weekends at a time. Mm-hmm. They would tape a Saturday night's main event. They would tape, 2 weeks of Superstar shows at least.
Yeah.
Certainly, I didn't mind that. In fact, I loved it. I got to see all of my favorite stars in multiple matches. They would come out, you know, I mean, if you recall, they would come out and wrestle 2 or 3 times.
I was a little confused the first time we saw that happen.
So for a promotion like this, this is absolutely the answer. And when we go to WrestleMania, you'll see DVDs, you know, sold at the various kind of sideshows and so forth, unaffiliated, obviously, with WWE. These DVDs are out there. It's where Ring of Honor really started to make their mark. So, yes, I think this is a very viable thing to do to kind of launch that promotion a little bit.
Yeah, and I guess they got to bang out as many matches as possible, right? Because you have all that talent who has come in for that weekend, and you got to get your money's worth, right? I mean, as the promoters, they've got to use their female talent correctly there. It's really interesting, though, because the people, and I guess this is why I brought this point up. You and I, let's say we went to a Shimmer taping, which is a weekend event up in Berwyn, Illinois, okay?
Yep.
Saturday they tape 2 volumes, Sunday they tape 2 volumes. The storytelling's a bit strange for the people in attendance because they see the stories evolve in the span of 48 hours. But the people that buy the DVDs, if they don't read the spoilers,
Yeah.
We'll see it evolve over a period of a year, year and a half as they release those volumes. So it's just, it's different. You know what I'm saying?
It is different. I mean, but again, is it really any different than the fact that Rick Rude was announced as the Intercontinental Champion at an event before WrestleMania when he actually won the title?
Oh, but different time, no internet.
I understand that. Although,
right, I mean, we went to the Superstars tapings, and we couldn't find the results of other tapings around the country. I mean, nobody knew.
But we knew.
Well, that's all that matters.
I think it's working for them, right?
Yeah, they keep getting a great following.
Yep. Dave, once again, I have a blast from the past for you. I'm going to turn back the clock to November 7th, of 1985. I don't know if you remember that date at all, Dave, but it was the WWF's second pay-per-view. It was the Wrestling Classic. It was a 16-man single elimination pay-per-view tournament. It was a great event. What do you remember from the event?
Well, we need another podcast on this topic alone. I knew we were going to talk about this tonight, and I got literally chills. This is a tremendous show. I mean, people haven't seen the Wrestling Classic. It's tremendous for a couple reasons. It's tremendous because it was so new and fresh. It was really, really felt special, right?
Oh, yes. And tournaments always get me going a little bit.
Tournaments are great, but don't forget, Roddy Piper and Hulk Hogan headlined that show.
That's right.
Right, in a title bout. I mean, people sometimes, they remember that Junkyard Dog won the tournament, beating Macho Man by countout, by the way.
By countout.
Which, yep. At the time, I was a big JYD fan. I remember literally running around my friend's living room, and I was pretty excited about that. But what's great about this event is the roster. You go back and look at who was actually in that tournament. The British Bulldogs, the Junkyard Dog, Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff, Tito Santana, Terry Funk, Cowboy Bob Orton. I mean, the stars of that generation. It's tremendous wrestling talent. One thing I'll say, though, the matches themselves are not great.
In fact, Dave, if you look at it, and I did today, and by the way, you forgot Moondog Spot.
I forgot Moondog Spot.
But if you look at it, look at the average length of those matches on that card.
Yeah.
It's about 3 minutes or so.
Well, part of the tournament, sometimes you get into trouble because you have to get so many matches in. But, yeah, I see what you're saying.
No, I wanted to run that past you. I know you had an emotional tie to that event, as do I, and what a great show. Everybody should go out and buy it. At least see it once.
We couldn't recommend it higher, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So if you check it out, I don't know if you can get it on YouTube or maybe WWE Classics on Demand or something like that, or pick it up on eBay. Those, by the way, I have it in clamshell. Those old clamshell
V's. Oh yeah. Just don't buy it illegally.
I would never do that. That's pretty much the show for today, right?
Dave, I've got something on my mind again.
Again?
Again, I'm sorry. I have to get these things off my chest sometimes, you know.
Oh, boy.
I listen to a lot of sports radio today, and there's so many Saints fans out there that are up in arms over the punishment handed out by Roger Goodell to head coach Sean Payton, general manager Mickey Loomis, assistant coach Joe Vitt, and Rams defensive coordinator Greg Williams. I feel for the fans of the New Orleans Saints. Payton is one of the best young coaches in the NFL. You know, Loomis is in the midst of negotiating one of the most important contracts of his life. I feel for the Rams fans. Greg Williams, a highly regarded defensive genius, brought in to really help build that team. Who I don't feel bad for, the culprits of this horrendous reward system, including Payton, Loomis, Joe Vitt, and Williams. The NFL warned teams many years ago about serious penalties for having such a reward system.
Mm-hmm.
They questioned Payton, Loomis, and Williams, who all lied directly to the commissioner of the league. In this day and age, when one hit can paralyze a player, the penalty needs to be harsh. The culprits got what they deserved.
All right, Jim. Well, I'm glad you got that off your chest. Listen, I was actually going to close the show, but... Well, recently I saw Star Wars Episode 1 in 3D. I saw it in a theater with a buddy of mine, and I mean, you know I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Love it.
Yeah. And I was sure this would be an awesome experience, and I just felt like a sucker. I felt like George Lucas is just bleeding me dry. I mean, the 3D experience sucked. I looked at my buddy halfway through the movie. We looked like a bunch of idiots sitting there in those 3D glasses. And I think what really, really disappointed me is that the 3D added nothing to the film. Here's the thing, that these movies that were not originally filmed in 3D, when they go back and kind of enhance them, the 3D doesn't really add much to it because these scenes aren't filmed and the cinematography is told in a different way. These movies like Avatar that were filmed originally in 3D take advantage of the technology. Star Wars Episode 1 in 3D was a complete waste. By the way, a $14, which is the most I've ever paid for a movie, I will certainly not see the other five when George Lucas releases them. And by the way, George, do me a favor. Stop screwing with these movies. He went back. I don't know if you know this. Yoda was a different Yoda in this movie. It was horrendous. At least the popcorn was good, and I had fun with my buddy. Now, don't forget to check out the OWW website at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM, that's OWWCOM, to get all program updates and announcements. We will also be posting directly to the official OWW Radio Facebook homepage. Next week, Jamie, you and I will be down in Miami getting ready for WrestleMania, so look for our official WrestleMania 28 preview. We are dedicating a full show to get you ready for Sunday, April 1st. Until next time, I am David.
And I'm a very excited Jamie.
Well, we hope you're as excited, and we hope you've enjoyed the program. And we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well, that's